Well, I am both troubled and fascinated by our culture's view of faith. I did a little digging this past week on secular songs, kind of pop culture, that talk about faith. All the way back in 1983, Billy Joel released his hit song, Keeping the Faith. Right? For any parents who thought that this song was going to boost the religious convictions of their teenagers, yeah, not so much. It was actually an autobiographical song for Billy about growing up in the 1960s, wearing the right clothes, smoking the right cigarettes, having protected sex, hanging out with the in crowd. He admitted the good old days weren't always good. Tomorrow ain't as bad as it seems. You just have to keep the faith. But faith in what? Was it faith in himself? Was it faith in the future? Was it faith in culture? It's hard to say. Fast forward to 1987, George Michael released his song, Faith. It was about a breakup, how the woman wanted him back, but he's basically mustering up enough faith to believe there's someone better out there for him. When asked about the song, George Michael said, for him, faith is optimism. It's hopefulness. He said he didn't have any religious convictions, but he did believe in faith. Which is sort of interesting. He didn't have religious convictions, but he believes in faith. He has faith in faith. I'm not sure he knows what that word means. In 1993, Bon Jovi sang, it's hard to hold on when there's nobody to lean on. There's things I've done I can't erase. Every night we fall from grace. Right now we got to keep the faith. Got to keep the faith. Ironically, the song never tells us that it's faith in who or faith in what faith is. We're just supposed to keep it, whatever it is. Dolly Parton, Tony Bennett, Joe Cocker have all sung songs about faith, but in their songs, the bottom line message was, have faith in me. The Smashing Pumpkins want to return the faith because it has let us all down. Bruce Springsteen's song, Leap of Faith, is basically an invitation to take a chance. Go ahead, have sex with me even though you don't know me. I'm not making this up, okay? I'm like, great. There you go. James Hetfield of Metallica wrote his song, The God That Failed, because his mom died of cancer and her faith did not save her. And then the great theologian Taylor Swift insists that love is a false god. They say the road gets hard and you get lost when you're led by blind faith. We're starting this new sermon series today on faith. What it means, who it's directed toward, where it takes us, how we live it out. It's called Faith for the Journey. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 7:9, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus said that faith can move mountains, that faith makes our prayers powerful, that faith promises us eternal life. Faith is one of the most prevalent words, the most powerful terms in the Bible. In fact, the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11, is known as the faith chapter of the Bible. And we're going to spend a few weeks kind of walking down through the verses of this chapter, unpacking the stories that are recounted there. This chapter shows us heroes from the past, men and women from the Old Testament, who did not even have Jesus yet. They did not know him personally, but they lived out their faith in God. Now, we got to do a little grammar this morning, okay? The word faith is a noun. In the Greek language, it's the word pistis. Okay? The word believe is a verb, pistuo, in New Testament Greek. Basically, two versions of the same root word, okay? When Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The verb that Jesus used there was pistuo. Whoever believes, whoever has faith shall not perish but have eternal life. Now the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:8-9, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And that word faith there is pistis. Faith is the noun, a thing. Believe is the verb, an action. Pistis is the noun. Pistuo is the verb. Anytime you're reading in the New Testament in English and you get to the word faith, belief, believe, believes, believed, past tense, believers, all of those are forms of this one root word, the two words, pistis or pistuo. So listen, the Bible says we are saved by faith. Jesus said we must believe in order to have everlasting life. So I think it's incredibly important that we understand this word, that we understand what faith actually means in the Bible. What does it mean to believe? What does it mean to have faith? Faith is, listen, this is really important. Faith is not simply agreeing something is true. Every author, every Bible teacher that I read in the last couple of weeks says this. Agreeing that something is true is part of faith. You might say it's the beginning of faith, but that's not all of it, not by a long shot. Biblical faith, saving faith, involves an honest and fervent response to Christ. It's not just nodding your head, acknowledging something is true. A professor of mine, Andrew Paris, wrote that saving faith requires understanding of the basics of the gospel, being convinced that Jesus' blood is what washes away our sins. We've sung about that today. Trusting that Jesus alone can save. There's understanding, conviction, trust. It's all part of faith. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to you, and I want to read it in a couple of different translations here so you can hear it differently. Hebrews 11, 1 in the old King James Version from 1611. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the old King James Version is not the easiest translation to understand oftentimes, but I love this word substance, that faith it is built on substance. It is a solid foundation. It's not a blind leap into an empty void. There really is a foundation here. The New International Version in Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. It's being sure, it's being certain. In the New Living Translation, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. It's not wishful thinking. Oh, this lottery ticket, come on, this is retirement for me. Okay, it's not the firm conviction that U of L really could beat UK in football this year. I'm just saying, I mean, it could happen, okay, but that's not faith. Faith is the substance of what we hope for. It is the evidence of what we do not see. It's a firm foundation. It's not wishful thinking. Now, at first glance, it almost feels like these two phrases in Hebrews 11:1 are saying the same thing in a repetitive way. It's being sure of what we hope for. It's being certain of what we do not see. Sure, certain, confidence, assurance. But as I studied this week, I became convinced that these two phrases say two different things. Listen again, and I'll read it from the NIV. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is, first of all, being sure of what we hope for. There is a future element to this. This is important. It is certainty, confidence that God's promises will ultimately come true, that heaven is real, that the final destination for those who have surrendered to Christ is heaven with the Lord. We are sure of this. What we hope for, off in the future, we know where we're going, where we will eventually end up because of Jesus. But faith is also being certain or assured of what we cannot see right now. We believe in a God we cannot see. We believe in a Savior that we know in our hearts, but we've never met in person. We believe in a Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, but does not manifest himself in some kind of a tangible way visibly in front of us. So there is a current reality, an element of right now to this phrase. God is with us right here in this place. Jesus is my constant companion. The Holy Spirit is my counselor, my comforter, my guide. It's all current reality, but there's also faith in what we're hoping for, what we're looking forward to, what we're longing for. We know where we're headed. Faith assures us of God's promises in the future. So now one more time, it's important. Two key elements in this one verse. We're sure of where we're headed someday in the future, that which we hope for. And we're sure of the one who is with us right now, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, our God in heaven. Those whom we cannot see at the moment. Now, look, stick with me, this is important. Someday, we will have perfect sight. Someday, we will not need faith anymore. We won't need faith because we're going to experience the reality face to face with the Lord, right? In a relationship. We're going to see God the Father on his throne. We're going to see Jesus Christ by his side. But for now, faith is everything. Faith is our hope. Faith is our strength. Faith brings us peace. In fact, listen to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Again, we see the same two elements here of faith. We believe he exists right now. We cannot see him, but we are certain he's present with us, current reality. We also believe that he's going to reward us when we earnestly seek him, that we're confident of his promises to come. Someday, all we have to look forward to, future reality. Again, faith is more than agreeing there's a God. It's more than accepting the fact that Jesus is his son. It is trusting him. It's embracing him. It's surrendering our lives to him. This stool that I'm sitting on, I can accept the fact that it's a piece of furniture that is intended to be sat upon. But when I actually sit on it, I'm showing my trust that it's going to hold me up, that it's going to fulfill its purpose. Saving faith is not just a casual nod of the head. Oh yeah, there's a higher power out there somewhere. It's embracing who he is, what he's done for us, trusting what he has promised. I want to read the first six verses of Hebrews 11 to you, and then we'll kind of unpack it a little bit. Again, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see, future, present realities. Then verse 2, this is what the ancients, those from the past, what they were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 gives example after example of men and women from the Old Testament who were people of faith. And each one of them did something. They did something active, something tangible, because of their faith and because of their trust in God. So after defining faith in verse 1 here, and we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but whoever did, he defined faith in verse 1. God is here in the present. His promises of the future are true. Then the author begins to tell us what faith looks like. Notice the creation itself demonstrates the truth of our faith. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. The beauty of creation, the order, the design, the intricacy, the detail, the precision of both the vast universe and of every cell in your body, everything in all of creation points to a designer. Now, that being said, there is still a step of faith that we have to take beyond all the evidence that we see. But it is not a blind leap of faith into utter darkness. It is a step of faith beyond the evidence. Friends, some scientists choose to believe that the idea of God is impossible. Therefore, they have to come up with an alternate theory, namely evolution. But evolution has its flaws and weaknesses. The question of origins, where did all the stuff come from that's in the universe? Evolution struggles to explain that. If there really was a Big Bang, how did it happen? Why did it happen? When did it happen? Was it blind luck or did God say bang? How did non-living goo suddenly come to life? Where did life come from? How did a simple one-celled organism lead to the complexity of the human body? Listen, nothing in the natural world left to itself becomes more complex over time on its own. Systems tend to break down. They move toward chaos, not toward order. But we're told that God is impossible. Therefore, the only explanation for all of this is that everything went from simple to complex by itself over time. And yet nothing in the natural world shows us that it works that way. This is all random chance, incredible luck. You remember, it's kind of a ridiculous story about this group of scientists. They declared they did not need God. Anything he could do, they could reproduce in the laboratory. So he reminded them that he formed Adam from the dirt of the ground. And so he said, let's see what you can do. So they picked up some dirt and got ready to start working. He said, hold on a minute. Get your own dirt. You're not using anything I made. What do you do with that? What did verse 3 say? The universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. All that is in the universe came from God. Somebody said, nature is God's braille to a blind world. Nature helps us connect the dots. God in creation. And then Hebrews 11 also says that Abel demonstrated his faith by his offerings to God. Adam and Eve's first sons were Cain and Abel. I love how Genesis 4 begins. Genesis 4:1. Now Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." And Adam's thinking, just you and the Lord, huh? What am I, chop liver? You know, what the heck? But after Cain came Abel, and when the boys grew up, they each brought an offering to God. I mean, offerings, plural. Cain from his garden and Abel from his flocks. And it says Cain's sacrifices were displeasing. Most people think he probably did not bring his best. Abel's offerings to God were welcome, presumably because he brought the best that he had. Abel shows us that deep and genuine faith means we bring God our best. We give him our best effort. We give him our hardest work. We give him our strongest focus. God deserves nothing less than that. Now, I get it. You might be a little nervous now. You say, well, man, that little bit of faith that I had when I got started, it was just sort of like a seed. It was so tiny. There wasn't a lot of confidence and trust. That came later. I get it. But still, faith is more than a casual nod of the head. Sure, yeah, there's a God. Why not? I'm not saying you have to be a spiritual giant to be saved. I'm saying that faith is more than just a nod of approval or agreement. It's giving ourselves to him. It's wanting to live for him. It's what Enoch did right here in Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who, what? Who pleased God. Enoch demonstrated his faith by living a pleasing life. Apparently, he pleased God so much in some kind of extraordinary way that God one day just took him home with him. But it was Enoch's faith in God, his relationship with God, that changed how he lived his life. He was a better person. He was a different person because of his faith. Friends, listen, there is nothing we can do to earn salvation, okay? Nothing we can do, right? There's no way we could ever repay God for what he has done for us. But if our faith never impacts how we live our lives, then we've missed the point of surrender to Christ. People often love to talk about the thief on the cross next to Jesus, how Jesus saved him, even though he did not have any opportunity to live out his faith in any productive way. And man, I get it. That's true. But did you remember that when they first got crucified, nailed to the cross, both thieves hanging next to Jesus hurled insults at him, the Bible says. Matthew 27:44. In the same way, the robbers, plural, who were crucified with Jesus also heaped insults on him. It was not until later, after this one thief watched Jesus suffer, heard him forgive his enemies, that Luke tells us this thief had a change of heart and he surrendered to Jesus. And even in those brief moments before he died, he spoke to Jesus with respect and humility. He tried to convince the other thief to get on board with him. He evangelized. He did not have long to live for Christ, but he changed. And his life has borne witness ever since. Listen, if there's never any change in you or me, ever, even in the final moments of life, a casual belief is not the same thing as saving faith. Let me read to you these verses from James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, well, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself is not enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone might say, or might argue, oh, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have any good deeds? I'll show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe there is one God. Well, good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. The demons believe, it's that same Greek word, pistuo. They believe, they have faith that there is one God, but their faith certainly does not save them. Right? Their belief does not lead to trust. It does not lead to surrender. It doesn't lead to salvation. It's just a bitter acceptance of the facts. Accepting facts is not enough. Saving faith involves a response. There's a movie coming out this month about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Lutheran pastor in Germany during World War II. He opposed the Nazis. He participated in a plot to attempt to assassinate Adolf Hitler. Bonhoeffer was executed in 1945 before the end of the war. His seminal work, The Cost of Discipleship, is a classic in Christian literature today. And he wrote about faith and about what he called cheap grace. He said, cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. It's baptism without church discipline. It's communion without confession. Absolution, being washed clean, without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. It's grace without the cross. It's grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. He called believers to live out their faith no matter the cost, and he proved it by how he lived. The book of Hebrews tells us that Abel did it. Enoch did it. In the weeks to come, we'll see that Noah and Abraham and Moses and Rahab and David and countless others did it too. They lived their lives by faith. Faith is a decision. It's a choice. It's a response to what we believe. It's surrendered to the reality of who Jesus is and what he has done. Now, you may have heard that there's an election coming up this week, okay? It's kind of a big one, right? It's an important one. I hope you plan to vote as followers of Christ in a free society. Voting is both a privilege and a responsibility. But friends, listen to me. Our hope is not in who is in the White House. Our hope is in who sits on the throne, right? This is not about a party. It's about a kingdom. It's not about a candidate. It's about Christ. And it does not matter what happens on Tuesday in the big picture of eternity, because we are His first. So don't panic this week. Do your duty and trust in Christ. Dynamic faith is going to see us through, okay? I'm going to give you a bottom line, and then I'm just going to wrap up with a story. And I'll be honest with you, it's a story that I've told dozens of times over the years, but I've always told this story in a hypothetical way. I'd say something like, imagine if something like this happened, or pretend you saw this happen. Well, they've come up with this thing called the interweb or the World Wide Net or some such, and you can actually look stuff up on there, and you can see if it's true or not. And I've heard that not everything on there is true. I'm not sure. That's what I've heard. But I did a lot of research this week, and I've come to believe that the story I'm going to tell you really did happen. Okay? And I've got some reason that I'll share with you to believe that. But let me tell you the bottom line first for today. It's only two words, and one of them is faith. We're talking about all month. I think you can handle a two-word bottom line today, okay? Faith works. That's it. Faith works. And I mean a couple of different things by that, okay? All right? Faith works in the sense that it is helpful. It is useful. It's advantageous. Your life works better if you have faith. Somebody might say, oh, I tried faith. It didn't work for me. But I'm telling you, if you really give faith a chance, it works. But faith also works in the sense that it is active. It is living and breathing. It's vigorous. It's dynamic. If your faith is not working, it's not serving in some way, if it doesn't lead you to things like repenting of your sins, being baptized into Christ, telling people about Jesus, serving other people, if your faith isn't working, it's not biblical faith. Faith does not just agree with the facts. It moves beyond agreement to surrender. Faith works. Okay, here's the story. You've probably heard me tell this before, but this time I have names. I have dates. I have pictures. Okay? On June 30th, 1859, Jean-Francois Gravelet, better known as Charles Blondin, or the Great Blondin, many called him, walked across Niagara Falls on a tightrope in front of about 25,000 people. He did the walk in both directions, took him about 20 minutes each way. About a third of the way across the first time, he sat down on the rope. He lowered another rope to the Maid of the Mist boat down below. They attached a bottle of wine to it. He pulled it up and had a drink before he finished going across. He walked across Niagara Falls multiple times. One time he balanced a table and chair out there on the rope. One time he rode a bicycle. He walked across blindfolded. He walked across backwards. One time, and I'm telling you, this is from multiple news magazine sources, he carried out a small stove. He started a fire in it and cooked an omelet. The guy was unbelievable. He was crazy, but he was unbelievable. Now, I have often told this story, and this is the way I would tell it. I would say, imagine somebody pushing a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls, and then, man, he asked the crowd, do you believe I could put a person in this wheelbarrow and push them across? And the crowd roars, we believe, we believe. And then he asks, who wants to volunteer to get in the wheelbarrow? And nobody volunteers. And I always say, it's one thing to say that you could put somebody in that wheelbarrow. You could put my boss in there. You could put my mother-in-law, in there. You could put my daughter's boyfriend in there, okay? It is another thing to get in the wheelbarrow, right? Told this story over and over again. I looked for a picture of Charles Blondin pushing a wheelbarrow across the falls, and he actually did it. In fact, the wheelbarrow is in the Victoria and Albert Museum in London. There it is. Okay, that's the fancy wheelbarrow that he pushed across. I tried to find proof that he actually pushed somebody across the falls in a wheelbarrow. And this is the only picture that I could find. Okay, we actually were shopping for her birthday present. It's what she wanted. Don't make fun of me, okay? Look, I could not find any proof that he actually ever got somebody in the wheelbarrow and pushed them across. But according to the Smithsonian Magazine, he carried his manager, Harry Colcord, across Niagara Falls on his back. It is well documented. I would have rather gotten in the wheelbarrow. All right, look, you probably know where this is going. It is one thing to say, I believe you could push somebody across in a wheelbarrow. It's one thing to say, I believe you could carry somebody across on your back. It is totally different to get in the wheelbarrow. It is totally different to climb on his back and ride across yourself. Totally different. Friends, faith is having so much trust in another person that you are all in. You climb in the wheelbarrow. You climb on their back. It is releasing control to the one that you believe in. Faith is not just agreeing that something is true. The demons do that. It is complete, all in, you are in control, not me. That's faith. Faith works. I'm telling you, man, if you have it, if you live it out, it will get you safely from one side to the other every time. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for faith. For what it is, for what it means, for the impact that it has. But it's not just faith in itself. It's faith in Christ. It is a faith that is firmly grounded in who Jesus is, what he has done, why it matters. Faith is surrender, Lord, and so we surrender before you today. God, you are everything. Someday we will be face to face with you, but in this in-between time, we live by faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that we can receive you as Lord and Savior through faith. May we in all things strive to honor you. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.